It's this phrase that occurs repeatedly in the chapter that I want us to look at. You find it there in verse 14. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed. And Caleb makes this affirmation in verse 8. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholly followed the Lord my God. This chapter focuses upon the dividing of the land of Canaan amongst the tribes of Israel. And we find on this occasion that 7 years have passed since the Israelites came into Canaan, since the time of the defeat of Jericho. And we know that because Caleb here mentions the fact that 45 years had passed since the time that he had gone up with the other 11 spies to search out the land. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. Then in verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So 45 years have passed since that time that they went up to search the land. And we know from all the dates and figures that are given to us that after that time the Israelites wandered for 38 years. They'd already been in the wilderness for 2 years, and they would wander for another 38 years. And so when you take 45, take 38 away from 45, you're left with 7 years. And that tells us, that informs us, that the children of Israel had been 7 years seeking to possess the land, seeking to overthrow the inhabitants of the land and to enter into their inheritance. 7 years. And yet there was still much to do. You learn that at the opening part of chapter 13 and verse 1. Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So 7 years had passed. They had been seeking to possess the land. And at this time the Lord says there's still very much land to be possessed. And that's why we find on this occasion Caleb coming to Joshua. 7 years they've been in the land, and yet much land had not been possessed. It's a picture, I believe, of the spiritual life. We should always be advancing, progressing. We should always be gaining, following on to know the Lord, following on to acquire greater understanding and greater possession of our blessings in Christ. And yet, it can be said all the way through our journey on this earth, in this life, that there's still more to possess. There's still more to possess. We should never rest on our laurels. We should never get to the stage where we think we've learned enough, that we have advanced enough, that we've progressed enough, we've possessed enough. No, there's always more to possess, because the Lord is inexhaustible. There's always something more to learn about the Lord. There's always something more to possess in Christ. And here on this occasion, Caleb is coming to Joshua and he's asking for his inheritance. He's asking for his inheritance. Is there not a type here? Is there not a picture? Joshua means Savior, Deliverer. And here is Caleb coming to Joshua and he's asking for this inheritance. He says there in the verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He's seeking that inheritance. And we should come to the Lord continually seeking our inheritance, seeking to possess what the Lord has for us. And Caleb comes, and he comes with this tremendous testimony in to Joshua. He's saying, give me this mountain because the Lord has spoken to me. The Lord promised this to me in that day because I wholly followed the Lord. What a testimony to be able to have. But a testimony to be able to say, after all those years, he says, I wholly followed the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord. Now, Caleb was not boasting. Caleb was not speaking out of place. He was simply repeating and rehearsing what the Lord had said. The Lord had said all those years previous, 45 years earlier, the Lord said of Caleb, he has followed the Lord fully. He's followed the Lord fully. And it's one thing for us to say that, but it's more important for the Lord to say it. For the Lord to look on us and say, he's followed the Lord wholly. He's followed the Lord fully. And that should be the desire, that should be the aspiration of every believing heart. To have the Lord say of us, he or she has followed the Lord wholly. Has followed the Lord fully. What a testimony. But what and how did Caleb follow the Lord? Well, when you look at these verses and this conversation between Caleb and Joshua, you will find that Caleb followed the Lord in different circumstances. And those circumstances, I believe, are instructive to us by way of parallel and symbolism. If you look at verse 8 of the chapter, he rehearses that time when he had gone with the other 11 spies to search out Canaan from the top to the bottom. And he says there in verse 7 that 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. How and when and where did he follow the Lord? Well, here this verse teaches us that he followed the Lord in a time of disobedience. A time of disobedience. Israel had been brought out of Israel. The Lord had been with them. He was leading them to the land that he had promised to Abraham and the fathers. And now they're on the very edge of the promised land. They're on the border of it. And the spies are sent to search. You remember how they brought back the grapes of Eshcol, and they spoke of how it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a lush pasture, full of lush pasture, a land that was prosperous, a land of plenty. They brought back that report. And yet, 10 of the spies focused on the great obstacles, focused on all the seeming difficulties, the insurmountable difficulties. They spoke of the people who were there, the giants, the Anakim, and the cities that were walled and fenced and great. And they presented this as being an insurmountable task. And Joshua or Caleb here says that this report that they brought back, it melted the heart of the people. Melted their heart. If you turn back to Numbers chapter 13, you find that incident. Numbers 13. You see how they focus in verse 28? On the people, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we wear in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we wear in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? See the setting here. The Lord has commanded them to go. The Lord has promised to give them the inheritance of the land. But the whole congregation is listening to the evil report. And they're filling their hearts with unbelief. They're saying, we're not able to go. We're not able to go. And there's this spirit of rebellion against the Lord. Why did the Lord bring us out? Why did the Lord bring us into this wilderness to kill us here? And as a consequence, the whole congregation disobeyed the Lord. And yet, in the midst of that setting, in the midst of that disobedience, Caleb followed the Lord. Look at verse 6 of chapter 14. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they speak unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. A land that floweth with milk and with honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Fear them not. Joshua and Caleb standing in the midst, and they're saying, God's word is true. What God has promised He will do. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be overwhelmed by what you see. If the Lord delights in us, then He will give us this land. He will do as He has said. See, they're following the Lord in a time of disobedience. In a time of disobedience. It's easy to follow the Lord in a crowd. But when the crowd turns against the Lord, when the multitude turns against the Lord, and you have to stand alone, that's the time of the real test. And this is a day of disobedience. In fact, the whole age, from the time of the Lord's ascension to the time of His coming again, is described as a time of disobedience, the children of disobedience. When He comes again, He will come to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. It's an age of disobedience. And even in the professing church, there's disobedience. There's a turning away from the Word of God. It's an age of disobedience. And therefore it's an age that calls for the character and the courage of Caleb to be manifested again. It's an age that calls for us to manifest this spirit that Caleb had. When the whole congregation, when the whole multitude was turning away from the Lord and embarking on a path of disobedience, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That's what makes his testimony all the more brighter. Because of the darkness that prevailed round about him. And that is why the Lord said, He has followed me fully. Verse 24 of that chapter. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He followed the Lord in a time of disobedience. And if ever there was a time when we needed to walk in the footsteps of a man like Caleb, then that time is now.
when there is a departure. And in the last days, a falling away shall come. There's a great need to follow the Lord wholly, to follow the Lord fully, according to His word. But not only did he follow the Lord in a time of disobedience, if you come back to Joshua chapter 14, you'll find that he followed the Lord in a time of great discouragement, time of great disheartenment. Look at verse 10 of the chapter. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. 38 of those years consisted of wilderness wandering. It was the sin of Israel at that time. It was their unbelief that barred them from the land of promise. God said that generation would not enter in. The only people out of that generation who would enter in would be Joshua, Caleb, and the Levites. But the rest of that generation, from 20 years old and upwards, God said they would die in the wilderness. They would not see the land that he had promised unto Abraham. And so for the next 38 years, Israel wandered here, there, and yonder in the wilderness, and they faced all the hardships and all the discouragements and all the difficulties of the wilderness. It was a disheartening time. Can you think of Caleb? Caleb had tasted the fruit of the land of promise. He had seen it with his own eyes. He said to the people, we're well able to go in, we're well able to possess it. He had tasted that. And when they brought back the fruit, the grape of Eshcol, he had tasted of that fruit. And can you imagine how Caleb was feeling then, on the very verge of the promised land, on the verge of entering into that? And yet to hear the Lord say that that generation would not enter in, and that they would dwell and wander in the wilderness for the rest of their days, and that would consist of 38 years. 38 years. And all that time, Caleb was in the wilderness as well. Caleb was in the wilderness. You see, when the judgment of God is upon a people, when the judgment of God is upon a land, a nation, or the professing church, those who are faithful to the Lord face the consequences of that judgment. Caleb had to endure the wilderness, had to suffer the hardships of the wilderness. And you can imagine how that must have felt. The Lord says, turn you, get into the wilderness. And every day, they wandered in the wilderness, taking down their tents and setting them up again, and moving from here to there. And every day, Caleb would keep in mind the memory of the land of promise, the lush green pasture, the beautiful scenery, the plenteous fruit, the milk and the honey. And yet they had to live in the wilderness. You see, when there's apostasy in the land, and God's judgment is upon apostasy, then those who follow the Lord, they feel the effects of it. They feel the effects of it. And it's disheartening. And it's discouraging. Discouraging times. But what does Caleb say? When he looks back at all that, all those years, 38 years, he said, I wholly followed the Lord. even in those times. And God has withdrawn his gracious influence in a very large measure from our nation compared to days in the past. Times when the fear of God was upon the country, when the Spirit of God was moving, when there were plenteous conversions. We don't hear of those things now. They're rare. They're precious. They're rare. They're scarce. And that's a sign that God's judgment is upon the land. And there's a wilderness spiritually. And those who seek to follow the Lord will feel the discouraging effect of that. And it's the same wherever you go. We're not an isolated case in the work of God. It's the same wherever you go. It's the same story. It's the same testimony wherever you go. Here and there, there may be little evidences of a moving of God. But by and large, it's wilderness. By and large, it's hard to get people in. By and large, conversions are few. That's the general testimony. And yet Caleb was in the same situation. And he wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. What was it that kept him going? Well, the answer is given to us in this chapter. Five times he refers to the word of the Lord. Look at verse 6. Speaking to Joshua, he says, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." What the Lord said. And then again in verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses." Then in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Five times. And of course, five in Scripture is the number of grace. It's the word of his grace which is able to build you up. And you know what keeps the heart in wilderness times, in discouraging times, in disheartening times? What is it that keeps the heart following the Lord? It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. The word of God has that power within it to lift up the heart and to strengthen the spirit and to stir the soul to follow on. And you know, that's what kept Caleb going every day of his wilderness experience. The Lord said this. The Lord said this. This is what the Lord said concerning me. And God's word cannot fail. And you know what will encourage us in the time of discouragement? It's the word of the Lord. How we need to be much in this book. Keep close to the Bible. Because it's the word of God that will strengthen us. And the word of God that will encourage us. And the word of God that will stir us on. To press on till we enter into the possession of what God has promised. So he followed the Lord in a time of disobedience. And in a time of great discouragement. But notice here again in this chapter that he followed the Lord in a time and in the face of great difficulty. You see, Caleb comes to Joshua here in order to seek this land that God had promised to him. He rehearses the promise. Verse 9, Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the Lord, the land whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. This is the promise. It shall be thine inheritance. You're going to possess it. And now he's coming in verse 12 to Joshua all those years afterwards, and he's saying, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He's claiming the promise. He's claiming the inheritance. But I want you to notice that the inheritance that the Lord promised to Caleb was one that was beset with great difficulty. In verse 12, he speaks of it as being a mountainous region. It's not easy terrain to traverse. Verse 12 tells us, thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, the giants, and the cities were great and fenced. There's many obstacles here, there's many difficulties here, there's many things to hinder them. It involved a struggle, it involved a battle. But Caleb was undeterred. His faith was undeterred. He says in the latter part of verse 12, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And what I want you to notice here, that he's not running away because of the difficulties that he had to face. He's not running away. He knows there's difficulty. He knows there's obstacles. He knows there's an inveterate opposition. The giants are there. There's cities that are well fortified. And it's mountainous terrain. It's going to take energy. He knows this. And he says, give me this mountain. He's following the Lord, even though it entails difficulties. If you turn over to chapter 17 of that book, Joshua, you will find a very different reaction in the case of the tribe of Manasseh. When you come down to verse 14, the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, and if Mount Ephraim be too narrow or too small for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley of chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. See, what they're saying is here that we don't have enough land here because we are two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, and there's not enough for us here. And the Canaanites are in the valley, and they've got iron chariots. You see, they saw the difficulties and they didn't want to face the difficulties. They wanted an easy run. They just wanted a possession to be given to them that wasn't going to cost them anything, that wasn't going to involve any hardship or difficulty. And you know what Joshua said to them? Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power, yes. I believe what you're saying. He says, you are a great people. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down. They didn't want to have to go and cut all those trees down. That was too much like hard work, you know. Had to get out there and sharpen up the axes and then start cutting the tree. They didn't like the idea of that. They wanted a nice piece of land that was already cultivated and would involve no work. And Joshua says, you're going to cut the trees down. and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. And Joshua just said, get away from me, go and drive them out, you're going to do this. You're not going to enter into an easy inheritance, an easy possession. You see, they were wanting to run away from the difficulties. And Joshua says, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. But Caleb, he knew what the difficulties were. He knew that this would mean energy and it would mean a battle and it would mean having to take on these giants and having to come against these walled cities. He knew that it would mean difficulty. And he says, I will follow the Lord. I will follow the Lord. And you know, the way of the Lord does have its difficulties. It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven. Has its difficulties. Has its battles, its struggles, its hardships to face. The trial of faith. Caleb says, I have followed wholly the Lord. I've wholly followed the Lord. You know what it is that enables us to follow the Lord in the midst of great difficulty and great obstacle? It's not only the word of the Lord that keeps you going in times of discouragement, but it is the Spirit of God that enables you to overcome the difficulties. Did you notice what the Lord said back in Numbers chapter 14? He said of that generation, they're not going to see the land. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Why? Because he had another spirit. He had another spirit. And that, of course, is speaking of his own spirit, the spirit that he had, the spirit of faith, the spirit of courage. But that spirit, you see, was the result of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and it followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. The only way that we can face all the many trials and difficulties that face us in the Christian life, the only way is by another spirit. I will give you another comforter. The Spirit of God. And it is He, the indwelling Spirit, who enables us to face all the challenges and all the difficulties and all the obstacles and all the things that which otherwise would deter us and beat us down. It is He who makes us invincible and who makes us victorious. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. What a testimony to have. May we strive and may we seek to follow the Lord in the same way that Caleb did. In times of disobedience, generally, and in the professing church, in times of discouragement and disheartenment, and in times when we've got to encounter and face great difficulties, as we seek to go on with God, I wholly followed the Lord. What a great man Caleb is. But he was only a great man because he had a great God. He had a great God. Left to himself, he would be weak. He would be as other men. But because he was following the Lord made him strong. And if we follow the Lord will make us strong. And he will make us more than conquerors in the pathway that he has called us to tread.